So as Sally said, and it's more of an extension of what's already been shared, so maybe break that down a bit more. So excellence in home influences. That's what we strive for, is excellence. Strive for that in our own lives. And we want that for our children's lives too. I think it's important. So excellence in home influences. Daniel is a great example of succeeding as a man of godly influence. And then it asks the questions, what were the qualities that made him that? Then it gives a few here. Humility, faith, discipline, then others, ? So as we think of raising up a godly seed, there are a lot of things for us fathers to consider in our own lives in that we're not going to take our children further than we are ourselves. We probably won't do that. And I was actually hoping for a glass board or chalkboard up here, so thinking of a classroom, so thinking of writing some things down later on, but that's okay. We'd like to have some interaction from you also. Just prepare yourself for thoughts and comments in the course of this time here, maybe more towards the end. And we'll draw some things from Daniel, integrated with a few thoughts of our own here as we go through here. So as the sisters, fathers, raising a godly seed in the children at home, there are a lot of things for us. I'm sorry, there's a lot of echo. I don't know. Is something I need to change? Just keep going. Okay, all right. You'll get it figured out. The Bible holds us. As fathers, we all know this. There's nothing I'm going to say to you all that you haven't heard, so don't expect to have a new slick answer of whatever. So just going to be a repetition of things you've heard. The Bible holds us as fathers, I would say, more than our wives, more than mothers, responsible for our family. The direction is often given to his fathers. When we read the scriptures, it's often relating to the fathers, us as fathers, for the direction and the teaching of our homes. And I believe that God's going to hold us accountable for these things, so the direction is given to us. So we're to lead out in instructing our children. Sure, wives might be the ones that are largely do the hands-on, you know, thinking of homeschool event here, the homeschool, the academics, they're usually the ones that do the hands-on, maybe some of you fathers do it. I don't know, but I don't. My wife does all of that. I'm involved. You know, if there's a discipline and things, that I'm involved there. But and even in what type of curriculum and some of the planning and all that involved. And us as fathers should be involved. But our mothers do, our wives do largely that the classroom teaching aspect. And yes, besides that, they are mother. You know, there's that compassionate side of a mother / teacher that's there. And so the children are just naturally drawn to them. But we should be pretty involved in the whole teaching aspect of things if we are homeschooling, to be really involved, to be connected. So as mentioned already, the importance of academics, I feel that they're very important. But as we're teaching academics, there's also the Bible principles that we deem very important also that we integrate as we are living life, family life, as we're teaching and training. That's all included in this whole homeschooling thing. Where we lead out is in this teaching, building up of godly character in our children's lives. We should be leading out in it, thinking of shaping and molding them, as been stated already, as they grow into adulthood. Think of, I want to keep putting this in front of us. When we think of our children, okay, they're children now, but you and I were children too at one time. And they're going to grow up. They're going to take places. They're going to take some of our places. And so when you think of that, becoming men and women, brothers and sisters, thinking of them sitting at your table, putting the feet under your table, United's table, and the opportunity and the potential. So let's go after it, fathers. Let's take that opportunity captive and not be so distracted by our own things that we think we have to do and responsibility for. Think of that. Becoming men and women, brothers and sisters that will be the ones leading homes and potentially your churches. Delivering messages, maybe, for men, for brothers, and young sisters, being a mother, your daughter, your young daughter, maybe, I don't know how old they are, being a mother. What will we give them? God's people, who will in turn serve their generation. We want to keep that right before us. A vision to give, what's going to be 20, 25 years beyond this? If you're just starting out, there's tremendous reward. We've received some of ours already, if you want to call it reward, or sense of return. Heaven, some of our children married, and now they're on their way to teaching in their home and try to be a grandpa to the little ones and join in with that instruction. I guess they tell me that just because you're at grandpa stage, your times of teaching aren't done yet. So we're just getting in on that one. So I'm not sure how that's all gonna work out. But God's people who in turn serve their generation. We raise them up to serve their generation, and so there's perpetual faith. Would we not want to give them all we can? Give them opportunities that maybe you and I never had as a young person. Imagine that. I don't know all your life story. I know mine. I didn't have the opportunities. That I'm trying to give my children. And we can't park there. We can't think back on the what ifs. We take the time that we have here and the potential that we have and the capabilities and the purposeful of instructing and putting, having that positive input to make them into, like we had in the last session, think of an 90-year-old man, still full of zeal, pressing onward. Will that be your son or your daughter? Will that be our children? Will that be a picture of our lineage? Lord, give us a vision, we pray. They are not just children, but they are eternal beings that God created for His purpose, for His kingdom, and for His glory. May we join hands, hearts, with God. I don't know how to say it. Maybe that's bringing God too far down. But I want to lift us up to God's ways and God's things, thinking of what He would like or what He would desire from His people, that we would join in with that. May we stop at nothing but to go for excellence, as that's been, it's all over in this flyer. Excellence. Excellence in the King's court. Excellence in the lines. Excellent. Just excellence in life. We strive for the best. I trust. That is our heart. So influences, let us draw some characteristic traits from the life of Daniel that we should be growing in our personal lives, then also teaching our children by example. So we're gonna just use theirs as a springboard here this morning. First one they have down is humility. And any one of these is not going to, we're not going to do justice this morning. So we're just going to touch and highlight some things. But any one of these things, characteristics that we're going to touch on, it's not going to be all inclusive. You'll You'll realize that real quick, that things that could be said or should be said that I'm not going to say, that you'll have to take with you. Humility is mentioned on the program, thinking of David before the king. I heard, Kings 5:14, I think said, I heard that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in you, Daniel. You know, couldn't that be a couple puffs in the balloon where it just kind of puffs our heart up, you know, where, you know, yeah, wisdom and understanding is with me, excellent wisdom, you know, is found in you. Well, how would we relate to that? How would someone tells it, okay, I'm going to pick on you because I know you, Brother Milton, you excellent spirit, the Spirit of God is found in you. What would that do to you? That encourage you, or would that just make you a little bit boastful or proudful? I trust not. But think about it. In the king's court, this is a king telling you. Was this the king? This was the queen, maybe. Excellent wisdom is found in you, one that dissolves doubt. So then we read that 11 and 12. Okay, so now, if you can, no pressure. Now he says, now if you can, now we heard this is what's in you. Now if you can, tell me the dream. Tell the interpretation of the dream. And if you can, there'll be gifts. No pressure. But if you can, there'll be gifts. The humility that wrought in Daniel in that context, he pointed to his God. I'm getting some of the accounts all doubled up. You know the book of Daniel. But when he came in front of Nebuchadnezzar, said, I don't have it in me. Daniel said, I don't have it in me to tell you anything. But here was an opportunity for God, for Daniel to allow God to shine through him. And the humility that wrought. How is it for you when God uses you? Brother Steve, when you're out witnessing and you feel that God moved through you, does that make you proud? That humbles you. That God would use such a person as I. And we see that in Daniel. He said, let thy gifts be to another. Don't worry about your gifts. Don't worry about your scarlet clothing and your gold chain. And I don't care about being the third ruler in your kingdom. I'm sure you didn't have that attitude. But the thought, that was the thought. It said, let thy gifts be to thyself. Let thy be rewards to yourself and your gifts to another. Maybe I said it backwards. Then he went on to say what God gave him to give. But the humility that God used him, just a humble heart, humble thy heart. And then, not only that, how would it be if you were in that setting? And I don't know how to place ourselves in a setting like that in a practical way. I'm not even sure that that'd be quite the right. I was thinking of if he was in, Trump would bring you before him and you would tell him. Maybe you had a dream and you were interpreting it, and then you went on to say, but Trump, these things are happening because you have not humbled thy heart. And this God thou hast not glorified. What do you think would happen? It didn't seem like Daniel cared what would happen. He was there on a mission. He was there for a purpose. He was there for a representation. He was representing God. He wasn't concerned about what the king would think or do, or, you know, in that situation. This is important in our home. Daniel didn't flaunt his gifts. And I don't know if we have presumed gifts that we think we have and you know, we want to promote them and I don't know how we are or who we are. I trust not, but that humbleness of spirit and mind is important in the home. For us as fathers, to make our wrongs right. Remember, we're leading out in this. If we're not able to make our wrongs right and we justify our attitudes, our wrong things, we justify and blame it on somebody else because he did that. It wasn't me. It's just a response to that. It's not going to come out right to our children. It just won't. We are influencing them. Remember, we're leading out. We're influencing them. And we maim our children when we don't take responsibility for our actions, that everything is everybody else's fault. We handicap our children if we are doing that, because we're teaching them to do that. That's what we're teaching them. But to humbly accept the wrong committed and make apologies for it, you know, sometimes it's hard for a father to, you know, I'm sorry, son, that wasn't right. But we have to do it. We should do it. We better do it. We fathers should be that example. Okay, so the next one is faith. Faith is mentioned on the program. As we consider faith that Daniel had in being taken from his family and home, could have thought again, you know, what is the use? We see that in Joseph being taken and exported out of his home into slavery. You know, Daniel, where is God in all this? We're God's people. We read the book of Daniel. We see the different things that Daniel said and spoke about. And we can connect the dots that I believe that he believed the prophet Jeremiah's words. And he took them to heart by what he said later on in the book of Daniel. So I believe he had faith. He had faith. Yes, he was right here. But the God of heaven is working something out. He had faith in the unknown. He had faith in the end. That the end is going to turn out well. But we're not there yet. So in the meantime, we continue striving for the best, the excellence. But rather, he set his faith in God, knowing God would see him through. In the interpreting of dreams and writing on the wall, Daniel had faith that God was in it. In this, we also see a trust and a belief, believing the word of God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, trusting God in captivity in a heathen land. How does this find us in our situations? We think of Joseph in his situation. We think of Daniel in his situation in heathen land under a ungodly king. Then our situations, would we see them as difficulties? We think of our most difficult situation. Maybe you don't have any difficult situations. Maybe you're all clear of that. But if you have one, would you see them as difficult as Daniel's? Sometimes it's hard. Maybe it's hard to have faith, trust, and belief in God, what I'm going through, or what the church is going through. Is there faith to trust in God's plan and all that? When we think of his sovereignty, overarching sovereignty, that he's in control, he works in the affairs of men, and we're men, we're people. He works in that. When we find ourselves in situations, do we see God in it? When we're going through something, do we ask ourselves the question, what is it? What is God trying to teach me? Or is it just a happening? Do we connect God, the sovereignty of God, with our situations? And even in raising children and homeschooling, sometimes the children teach us things. Sometimes it takes the children to humble us. Let God use that for us, because he's out to make us better, not bitter. He's out to perfect and to refine us. And sometimes it's through the children. Is there faith when I can't see the end or I'm not in control of the ending? Can I still trust God presently here today? Next one is discipline. They have that also on the program here. Daniel was a man of commitment and purpose. He was there representing his people, even though they were in captivity, and the God of heaven were God's people. He was there in representation of that. Daniel was a man of commitment and purpose. He took it very serious in that he was not going to defile himself. Imagine, three times a day, devotion, connection with God. This disciplined Daniel, then, which was certain death. It'd be interesting to peek into what Ben is saying about excellence in the lion's den. How would you have excellence in the lion's den? But he was willing to lay down his life because he knew that it was certain death. In his mind, it could be that my life is in the altar. When that decree went out, and he knew that decree went out, and the king signed it, and according to the Medes and Persians, it shall not be altered. So it was written. It was a done deal. But where does Daniel go? He meets with his God. It didn't matter. That's how important it was to him. Us as fathers are in need of this type of disciplined life in the face of trouble and influence today, in the society that is anti-God. Will we spend time with God in such a way as to be able to represent God to our family and children? To give them something very viable as point them to a true relationship with the God of heaven. This must be valuable enough for us to show them. And not only valuable enough for us to show them, but valuable enough for us to help them in it and with it. What does that look like? It means going in their bedroom in the morning, sometimes getting them up, maybe bringing them a coffee, getting them and helping them. Does that mean just one day? It means every day. Sometimes they come to a point where they get it. That is a very motivation. But until then, it says to train up a child in the way it should go. Sometimes you have to help them to do those things in the way that you want them to go. And when they're old, they won't deter from that. And it'll be their own then. It'll be their personal walk then. But until then, sometimes you help them along. But how valuable? But if it's not valuable to us, and if it works out, yeah, go ahead and do it. But, if you're not a morning person, don't worry about it. No, that's not what we're called to. Is it important to us? If it's important to us, then it should be very important for our children too. And so we help them. Discipline. That's part of discipline. That brings discipline in my life to have to do that. If it's important to me to get up, it's just been another late night, and things are real. It's family life is real. It's fun, but there's some discipline that comes in all this. The discipline of getting up and having their own devotions and the satisfaction of a job well done. Encourage the children, there's a satisfaction of a job well done. So maybe you can't do it right the first time, or maybe you can't do it, but you did your best, so that's good. Next time you might be able to do it better because you've done it, a little bit of practice refines it. And so you encourage them to put your best foot forward to its completion. Don't leave a job half done. The satisfaction, not only completion, but also you've done it the best you could. Chores around the home. Not because it was a money-making thing, by no means. It was a tremendous loss in financial, if you look at it financially. But the character that it built in the children, going out there with the break in the ice when it's frozen, water's frozen, and you know all about it. But to input. We're talking about input. We're talking about discipline. Sometimes you create some of those things to help build character. Prayer, spending time in prayer. We talked about some of that. Prayer, spending time. It's a discipline to pray. And us as adults, I don't know how your church has, if you have a prayer meeting and events, church events and things that are called to and meetings and if you have those daily or those weekly scheduled things that your church has, how important is it to us? You know, what are we teaching our children? We teach our children not only by doing, but we also teach our children by omission. By not doing. Staying home. Oh, I'm tired. I'm not going to go this morning. It's been a long night. It's not valuable enough. We're teaching our children that those things are not valuable enough for me to go. Let's be careful with this. You fill in the blank. You can. Okay, so what do you think that you value? And then the choices you make in accordance to that will show us how much we actually value. It's discipline. Live a disciplined life. Word. It includes so much. We don't see. Yeah, we do. In the life of Daniel, maybe not as clearly as some, but if you know the word integrity, it's the entire moral state of a man. It includes everything. So you do see it in Daniel very much. But integrity, purity takes on purity, honesty. It's just being morally upright. Who are you when no one is watching? That's who you really are. When there's no one around, there's no one around, no one's going to see you do what you're doing. No one's going to see what you're thinking. No one's going to find out who are you. That's who you really are. It's who we really are. Are we deceptive? Is there a deceptive nature that if we can get by with it and no one else will find out? What about a lie? Is there something that we could lie about that no one finds out and we're okay with? We can put in different words. Thief, hypocrite, cheat, corrupt, immoral thoughts, where no one sees, no one knows, who are we? Talking about integrity. Integrity is who we are when no one else is watching. We think of God, Daniel and Joseph in this way, where they are away from family in a foreign land. We could say, my peers are not around. But there's a God in heaven that came back. It keeps coming back to you. There's a God in heaven that sees our every secret thought. This is Father's. And don't doubt it, that this is very influential, not only in our own lives, but it reaches to our children. Our way of thinking does display itself in life. It does leak out. It does come out. By it, we teach our children. Don't doubt it. More is caught than taught. We've heard that phrase. We teach by omission. We talked about that. We teach our children often by what we don't do as by what we involve ourselves in. We gave an example of that. If we have an attitude against the family or individuals, we are telling our children, those people are not valuable enough to me. And so then we are telling them that it's easy or that it's okay to disdain other people. That's what we're teaching. The thing that we have to remember is, okay, so Deuteronomy says, thou shalt teach your children, them diligently unto your children, when you're doing this, when you're doing that, constantly. So whether we realize it or not, we are always teaching our children something, either by example or by omission. Is it what we want them to get? This is a reality. Deuteronomy 6 is a reality to us whether we are intentional about it or not. In everything we do or say, we are influencing their lives. We should ask ourselves, is it what I want to be teaching them? Academics, my involvement or lack thereof tells my children how important it is to me. And is it something that I'm bringing my children along in? How important is this to me? The whole thing in integrity, honesty. Is it Is honesty my goal? Sometimes we hear the word that we're just painfully honest. I trust honesty isn't painful. Maybe what we're meaning by it is some situations it might be difficult to just say it how we think it is, and we're afraid of hurting someone. Maybe that's the painful side of it. We hear the word bipolar, and that's sometimes people use that for an excuse that they are two different people. I'm using it in a sense where where our children see somebody different at home than at church. This one can really stink fast to our children. Stink fast, fasting. That's maybe not a correct choice of words there, but it can really stink before our children. We're two different people. The children just gets chewed out. Understand me when I say this. I trust that we're not chewing our children out, but get what I'm saying here. The children just get chewed out, and the phone rings. Good morning. Your child's going to feel very, very valuable at that time. He's going to feel very, very loved at that time. Actually, he's not. But let's not do that. Integrity is a virtue that the grace of God can give us the power to live. And to not adapt to the world's way of thinking. Sometimes we are doing that without even thinking. We're so surrounded with technology, with digital information, and it just, if we're in business, there's business ways and things of doing things that the world has. But let's not adapt. Let's be careful how much we adapt to the world's way of thinking. Excellence in the home will not be drawn to the way of society. Society doesn't have godly principles and values that it's looking to. It's just not. Influence. Remember, we're influencing. Innocence. Daniel was innocent. In Daniel 6:22, he spoke about innocence. He was in the lion's den, but because God had shut the lion's mouth was because of his innocence. Therefore, God saved him, it says in that verse. So out of innocence, we get the word blameless, a New Testament word. We are called to live lives that are blameless as fathers, as Christians, that there's no occasion for a blame or accusation to stick. We as dads should aim for this one all the time, but yet be humble enough to admit wrong and apologies like we previously stated. And let thy gifts be to thyself and thy rewards be to another. I don't care about your gifts. He wasn't looking for opportunities. He wasn't that Gehazi where he went back and said, my Lord, first of all, he lied to cover his covetousness. Would like a few things here, and I would like this and this and this. But this wasn't Daniel. He was not covetous. In business, if we're on business, there's a potential to be distracted. This will teach our children that they are not important, they're not valuable. And it will bring insecurity in their lives. If they see us as fathers distracted, we don't have time for them, this will bring insecurity in their lives. Don't doubt it. The drive for more, where work is king. Let's be careful with this coveting heart. It's the New Colossians says it's idolatry. This is your turn. What are some things that your children might say? You know your children, and maybe you have two younger ones that won't say it, but if you have older ones that would, that could, what are some things that your children might say that are most important to you? And I know this can make us feel a little vulnerable, or you know, depending on what it is. But so good or bad, as we consider our own lives here a bit, we'll just have an open time here. What are some things your children might say that are most important to you? Sometimes that's revealing. So. And maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you do know. We can make it sound real good, right?
Your last comment about business could be a distraction, and that's something that I've faced. You know, we're as far as a priority. The older you get, the more responsibilities get laid on your shoulders with the church, with more children.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Business and all that, and sometimes you just go faster to try to keep up with everything. And I've read a book recently, as I say recently, in the last couple of years, the title was Margin, and he really challenges that's actually two of them, the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and the second one is Margin. And he really challenges us in what are we going after? Is it more in the American way?
Yes. Yep, that's right.
Stuff.
Yep, more things.
And he really challenges that idea in slowing down. Instead of just going faster, slowing down, having time for others, having time for God. It's just something that
it's
been a challenge to me.
Yes, granted. I mean, if you think of church things and you think it's there, and then think of a raising a, you know, if you have a family and children and a wife, and good relationships take time. And when we think of that, all that, which one do we want to excel in? It probably won't be all three.
I think part of the thing that I've been struggling with a little bit is just the older I get, the less energy I have. When I was younger, I had more energy. Maybe I only had a child or two. Didn't have enough responsibility. And as time goes on, more and more gets added.
Amen. And so first you'd have a plateful, right?
And so you get work late. I don't know. Just,
yeah. Amen. That's sometimes hard. Yeah. That's a hard one for me to say, to be able to say no, but it is in our vocabulary. Thank you. Anyone else? Please feel free. What are some things that your children might say are most important to you? And maybe we don't know. Maybe it's something we want to go home and ask our children. You know, what do you think is really important to Dad? They might see it more clearly than we do. Might be maybe a little piece ruined by one of the children. What is our response? What's important? Sleep, work, church? Others, not them, mother? Is it more important than how we look than who we really are? Talking about excellent spirit in the home, influences. It's what we're striving for, the excellent spirit in our home. It's the God-likeness that we have stated, Christ-centeredness. Our hearts need to be turned toward our children and view them as assets, eternal souls to love and cherish and give opportunity for to grow and flourish under our care. And again, we can sound like we're, this is, okay, this sounds a little child-focused here. We're not talking about being child-focused. We're simply talking about caring for those that are under our care. You know, I tell our children, you know, we love you a lot. We love our children. We haven't done everything right, but we love our children. And I've told them that. But before you came, it was mom and I. And after you leave, it'll probably be mom and I. And while you are here, mom and I are going to have some time together. But we'll try to give you opportunity. We'll try to give you the best opportunity to grow and mature in Christian virtue. You know, that puts a tremendous responsibility on us to lead by example then. Our hearts, fathers, must be turned towards our children and our wife. We should be delighted at every step they take or make in learning and growth in godliness and or academics. They should feel the love and support that we have from. We're there doing this. Somehow, we're encouraging them on. Good job, son. Next time, continue lifting up and pushing on. Another important one, this one should be probably at the top. I probably should have stated this one first. It's the one that if it's not in place, it will cause our children not to learn properly. It will cause them to be insecure. It will cause them even potentially to rebel and probably many other things. It's when we don't love our wife and or are not together in how to do school, family life, discipline, etc. If there's not togetherness in it for us as husband and wife, if we're not saying the same thing, whether it's whatever it is, there's a cause for many things to happen, and it probably won't come out right if our children are hearing two voices. This will have a tearing down effect in our homes. This will not be excellence. This will be bad influence. As right as I may be or seem, if we're not together, it will have a tearing down effect. Do not, for the sake of your children, do not have your disagreements before them, if there are any. Go behind closed doors and work them out before you come out again. This puts a cloud over the whole family, and it will not prosper under that cloud. And don't pit your children against your wife and talk down toward your wife in front of them. You know, this is not a child training session seminar where, you know, we're at a homeschooling event and you think, well, didn't come for a child training session. But fathers, I plead with you to get the next generation of Christians as we think of our children in our homes. This all plays out into our homeschooling experience. I don't know that we can stress this enough. This is, to me, it's a package deal. We've, you know, at the table, there was times when we had some simple mannerisms. You know, it's a continue. It's when you're walking by the way. It's when you lie down. It's when you're rising up. It's a continue opportunity for instruction. And this, I think, of homeschooling, not just academically, as important as that is, please give your children the opportunity to learn. But it's the whole way of life living, the whole experience that comes into this. And we just want to just come back to that over and over. We are raising, we're teaching, we're schooling eternal souls that will serve the next generation. Think of that. Put that in front of us. And we just continually put that in front of us. Who's going to serve the next generation? Who will be there that will stand in the gap? Will it be your son? Will it be your daughter for the next generation? Will he be the one? It's our turn to show them how in this generation. How are we showing them? And it finds me in need. So that no generation need to suffer loss. So in the midst of all this homeschooling, we work to provide, we serve to be a blessing at home or away. We serve in the kingdom, even as a family. We heard recently about being hospitable. Look for opportunities to be a blessing together as a family. Use your family to prepare for it. Be there together when it think about maybe your houses don't ever get that live-in look. I don't know. Maybe you got it all just immaculate and everything's in its place. And we don't. We live life in it, and there's times it gets messy. So let's get the house cleaned up together. So-and-so is coming. Stay involved. Prepare the food together. Give opportunity to work together as a family. And whenever you work together, we've used the phrase, you know, you really get to know someone when you work with them. And what an opportunity for us to do that in our homes. Things start coming out. Selfishness in our children may display itself, and you have an opportunity for instruction. Just multiple ways to encourage. Not only correction, but opportunity for service. Just look for opportunities to serve. So there's maybe more that could be said or should be said, but again, here we want to open it up again for comments or questions. Not that I have the answer, but maybe someone here does or has experienced something that would speak into it or encourage it. And so us as fathers, in our questions that we may have in our hearts about this whole home, what are some questions that we may have for those that have also maybe experienced the same thing you have questioned about that could help speak into it or give direction or encouragement to it? So we just want to open it up here for a time for questions or comments, if there are any, in the context of excellence in the influences in the home, in this homeschooling opportunity that we have in this day. So we'll just open it up for questions here or comments. Maybe you have questions on what are some ideas about how to homeschool, how to be involved, what are some questions about, I don't know, maybe you don't have any questions.
Saying about how to take our, you know, we're not going to take our children farther than what we're going, you know, but farther than what we're being example to them. And I was just thinking about that, you know, with our giftings, with how we are, you know, as parents, it seems like when we're doing it together as a church, when they're also seeing other families and seeing their gifting, seeing them working together, is a huge it's a huge encouragement for our family and for us as well. There seems like there's areas that seems like I can only go so far in, or you know what I mean, as far as thought and but others have that ability, mm-hmm. Amen. Through messages.
Amen.
Here through gathering and fellowship, and yeah, I just thought that was one thing that I thought of for us that has been a blessing. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So then you're drawn from other sources.
Then
potentially Brother Melvin has just a way of ministers to that. Yeah, I think church is very important. It has the opportunity to draw from multiple sources.
That's an inspiration, Brother Steve, to think about that. How my giftings, my children's experience in their home is tempered, multiplied, strengthened by the influence of the larger.
Amen.
Of the larger influence.
Isn't that beautiful?
So part of an excellent spirit can be said to join yourself to God's people in that way.
Amen.
That's an inspiration. Thanks for sharing that, Steve.
Yes.
That we have with our children. I just wrote down a little prayer that Lord help to be thankful for the potential that I have with my children and not take this for granted. How easily can it be? He was talking about distractions too. We become distracted with the things, the affairs of this life. And I looked up and I saw the word distractions up there in the sheet of the chart. It was because of the call of the kingdom.
Well,
and also on faith, having faith, he was talking about faith there, faith in God. I wrote down having faith that God would intervene at the time when my children come to the crossroads of being born again.
Wow.
I think of that. Like, will they have a testimony? Sometimes when growing up in a Christian home, much different than how we grew up. Say, condemn anything in my upbringing, but like the dark settings that we experienced, the dark times that we went through. Hopefully, they don't have to go through that, but still have a testimony. Still have a testimony, mm-hmm. Having faith. Sometimes I think about those things. But then when Donald was talking about discipline. The discipline. Do I get up in the morning? Faithful. We teach by the things that we do, and we teach by the things that we don't do. Just being faithful in the little things. If we are faithful in the little things, we can be faithful in the big things. I was really blessed and also challenged. I have many other things wrote down here, but I'll give you the opportunity for others to share too. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, those things become real, and the difference between academics and their spiritual lives, the input. Okay, there's times when maybe it takes a bit for a concept to sink in their heart. So it's consistent. So you try to repeat and repetition. And sometimes it's that way in a spiritual life where there's been some influence of one of our children that didn't come to faith right away. And a lot of it had to do with their selfish inclination, the very, very selfishness. And so So in all that experience, and this took years, there had to be a consistency on my part. And it's not like we shove it down their throat, so to speak. But when we live life together, the consistency of living life together, you know, day after day, saying the same thing, hearing the same thing, message after message, you know, Sunday, you can point to those things, to this person, to this young person, and then finally, there's a coming through, there's a conversion, there's a baptism, and you, when that happens, all the prior work, all the prior prayers seem as nothing. And so if you are in a situation like that, continue on, consistency, prayerfulness, bring it before God. He is faithful.
Mm-hmm. What I have achieved. And we see people who have the worst of home lives rise way above that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's encourage our children to rise above of where we're at, not to cover up our mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but to push them on.
Amen. Thank you, Malin. I may have been misunderstood. I think Steve spoke to that too. We have the opportunity to give our children things that we didn't. And so let's not use that as an excuse just because I didn't have it. We can give it to our children. Example, this may be for some of your older ones, and even youth years. Now we're going a little bit older, to where I don't know what it would have done to me if my dad would have came to me, okay, son, I want you to read this book, and I want a book report here in a week. Give me in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, give them plenty of time, make sure they have time to read, and do that. What would it have done to you and I had our fathers done that to us periodically? Okay, here's another book. This is a good, solid book. I want you to read it, and then I want a report from it. I'll see what you got out of it. And in that way, give them something that you never had, and so in that way, they're gonna excel. If they really take it to heart, they're going to excel further than we've ever went. And to give them those opportunities. We've done some of that, and it's discipline. There again, it comes back to discipline, you know. We try to not only bring discipline into our lives, but to give a discipline to, okay, son, I want you to read this book. I'll report from it. And I'm not talking a huge, thick theological book. I'm talking that there's some... There's some solid stuff there. Okay, we're going to bring this to a close here. Excellence in the influences. Thank you for all your input. Striving for excellence. This is excellence in home influences. Remember that. Remember, what we do, what do we like about Daniel, or what are the things that stand out? Coming back to that. What are some things that stand out about Daniel or any character in the Bible that we just highly esteem? It's the God-likeness in their lives that stands out. It's what we like. It's the Christ-likeness. It's the Jesus-likeness that we admire, that comes out, that we look to. The more the individual is like God or Christ, the more he or she shines, that reflection, that image. May that be our goal in our children. That will be the same for us and our children. The more we become like Jesus, the more we have our children become like Jesus, the more God will be glorified, and the more influential they'll be, maybe even in the king's court. So we'll just leave you with that.